You know, it's still grilling season, and let's face it, it's Colorado, right? So it's always grilling season. So if you're planning on hosting a Broncos watch party, how about that win? A get-together with the family and friends, or maybe you just plain love to grill a great steak. Let me tell you about Dipper Legacy Cuts. Clint and Lauren Mundell run this fifth-generation southeastern Colorado ranch along with the help of their two sons, and it's their mission to deliver the freshest and highest-quality Black Angus beef right to your doorstep. They take immense pride in their all-natural, verified Black Angus beef with no hormones or antibiotics. And we've had a chance to try their beef. Let me just tell you this. It is absolutely delicious. I had a ribeye that was flavorful. I mean, it just tasted so good. And we've grilled up burgers made from their fresh ground beef that absolutely made our barbecue. If you haven't tasted the difference between store-bought beef and ordering directly from a ranch like Clint and Lauren Mundell, believe me, you owe it to yourself to try it. You may never go back. There's a huge difference between the taste and knowing exactly what you're putting in your body. We are huge fans. Head over to DipperLegacyCuts.com. Check out their fantastic selection with options on any kind of cuts you can imagine. Filets, ribeyes, roast. They have short ribs, sirloins, ground beef. You can find it all. And if you put in Dave Logan, all caps, and no spaces in between Dave and Logan in the code, you're going to get $10 off your order. Your beef will come in 2 to 3 days right to your front door, efficiently packaged with dry ice to ensure its freshness. Again, that's DipperLegacyCuts.com. Dipper Legacy Cuts, a Centennial Ranch in the Centennial State.
On this episode of the Dave Logan Podcast with Julie Brownman. What episode is it?
Technically.
Didn't we have 95 last week?
We did. But I miscounted.
While the Broncos are 3-0, it's not all rainbows and unicorns.
He's been pissed off. You know.
Is he holding the middle finger?
No, not quite that pissed. That's part of being a coach. You got to manage the expectations of some of your really good players.
And should Broncos country be concerned about the injuries mounting up, especially to some key contributors?
And there's a reason guys are starters in this league. Everybody that makes an NFL roster is a good football player in some shape or form. But then there's a reason that guys are starters, because they're better players.
All that and more on this episode of the Dave Logan Podcast.
This is the Dave Logan Podcast.
And welcome to the Dave Logan Podcast. Dave Logan and Julie Brownman, podcast number 96, I believe.
Technically,
didn't we have 95 last week?
We did, but I miscounted. This is actually 95. I give us credit for one more podcast than we did.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So this is 95.
So for those of you counting at home, right, this is actually 95.
Yeah. And yeah, probably one of our more exciting ones, because since the last 94 we've done it together, we have not been able to say the Broncos are 3-0. Ever.
Right, because the last time they were 3-0 to start a season was 2016.
Dang.
That was Gary Kubiak as the head coach. Mm-hmm. They started 3-0. Mm-hmm. Do you remember how they finished?
Let's see, 3-13? No. In 2016?
Mm-hmm. The year after Super Bowl 50.
Oh, 9-7.
9-7 is correct. Very good.
Yeah.
Did not make the playoffs. They at one point were 7-3.
I do remember that. And then what happened?
They lost four of their last six.
Was that Gary's last year?
It was.
That was when, what did he do during the Raiders? He didn't play Paxton, right? He played.
Oh, you're asking me to go back to the Paxton Lynch era? I have completely and totally wiped that from my memory.
I just remember there was a little controversy because I think some people wanted maybe the coaching staff or maybe other people in the front office wanted to see more Paxton Lynch, but Gary didn't necessarily go
He didn't
that way.
Play Paxton in the final game of the season.
Right. Against the Raiders.
Because he didn't think that he had earned that right to do so. And that, I think the club, the front office, would have preferred to have taken a look at Paxton Lynch. But that is water under the bridge, as they say.
Yes, it is. So fun day. First of all, fun day at Empower Field. First for the season opener. Packed, great weather. It was not, I mean, I know you guys have done some road games, but it was the first time Bronco fans got to see it in person.
Yeah, I tell you what, it was a lot of fun. It was really cool seeing a full stadium. We haven't seen that since 2019, so it's been a minute. And they were very much, the fans, very much into the game. Mm-hmm. You could tell even in warm-ups that they were just excited to be there. I mean, people have been cooped up and unable to attend large events. And so, and to the Broncos' credit, they gave them a few things to cheer about. So all in all, it was a hot day, man. It was like, I think it was 85 or 86 degrees at kickoff, which was 205, which for the 26th of September, that's a warm day for Denver. But that was great. The only negative really about that game is the injuries continue to mount. And we find out today that KJ Hamler suffered a torn ACL in that game. So he's going to be missed for the rest of the year. They are woefully thin at a position that they thought only 3, maybe 4 weeks ago was a position of strength, to the point that they could trade maybe the best receiver in the preseason, Trinity Benson.
I know.
They could trade him, and now all of a sudden, Jerry Jeudy is injured, and now KJ Hamler is injured for the remainder of the year. I think they have to, I know you have Seth Williams, I know you have Tyree Cleveland, Kendall Hinton played a little bit yesterday, but to me, given the fact you're 3-0 and you're playing good football, to me, there's one guy out there that I would be most interested in. You have to bring him in and work him out, and then you have to convey to him that there are two or three other guys that you're interested in. Otherwise, he'll ask for too much money. But that guy would be Golden Tate.
Okay.
Slot receiver, really good after the catch. I mean, has running back skills with the football in terms of wide receivers. He's tough. He's not a top end speed guy, but he is a really good NFL wide receiver, and he's good in the slot. And I would make that move soon, like today.
Why is he available?
It was a contract thing. It was a money thing, I believe. I mean, there's some other interesting names. I know people have talked about Larry Fitzgerald. Larry back in the day was one of the great receivers in the game. I mean, he's to the age now where how much does he have left in the tank? One thing I like about Fitzgerald, he's got great hands. And maybe that would be something that would appeal to him. You're assuming he stays in shape. You know, he seems like a guy that would be in shape. He's an accountable guy and diligent and made of the right stuff. But, I mean, I would try to go out and get Golden Tate in a heartbeat.
Why did you add and make sure that he knows that they're looking at two other guys?
Well, from George Payton's standpoint, if you bring him in and you fawn all over him and tell him this is the greatest place, he's probably going to ask for more money, right? And so you have to, I mean, they've got money they can spend, but you also, I mean, it's the way the NFL works. I mean, they want to get you signed for the least amount of money they can so they can save money to go sign somebody else at some point. So, but I just think they need a veteran sort of old head at wide receiver, a guy that knows what he's doing. Tate has been at his best in the slot. Hamler was a slot guy. Now, the only drawback to that would be, and I know how NFL teams think, you've got Cortland Sutton, who's coming off that ACL injury. You've got Tim Patrick. Both of those guys are big-bodied wide receivers that you would not consider to be burners, although I think Sutton, you know, before the injury, ran pretty good and probably ran better than people gave him credit for. Patrick runs well, but neither guy is a burner. And Golden Tate's not a burner either. So, you know, the other name out there, if you're looking for a speed guy to play in the slot, would be John Brown. John Brown's a former first-round pick. John Brown is not nearly as consistent a ball catcher as Golden Tate is. Can he take the top off of defense? He absolutely can. I mean, he's one of those guys coming out of college where he runs at the combine, and you're like, he ran what? I mean, he's a 4.3, maybe even better guy. But he has always been, I'll stop short of saying he's an inconsistent ball catcher, but he's not been a consistent ball catcher throughout the course of his career.
I've heard the name Josh Gordon, and then I've heard that ixnayed more than people think that that's a possibility.
I wouldn't say no simply because how many chances has he had with the NFL and the drug policy and all that? I think five chances. The league is set up different nowadays. They don't even test for marijuana unless you're already in the protocol. Mm-hmm. So that you wouldn't think would be an issue. Josh Gordon's main issue, I mean, weed was involved, but it wasn't weed. It wasn't weed that he couldn't get away from. It was a more significant drug. At least that's what I have been told. So he had a year in 2000. That would have been the year the Broncos got beat by the Colts in the playoffs. That would have been 2013, which was Peyton's first year here. He had a year at wide receiver that may have been one of the top two or three years of all time at wide receiver. I mean, this guy, now you're talking 9 years ago, but he was so physically dominant that he could pretty much do whatever he wanted to, and you couldn't cover him. If he was covered, he wasn't covered. If he had great coverage, he'd just jump over you and body and take the ball, or he'd run past you. Big, really big, fast, talented guy 9 years ago. So he's bounced around. He went to New England. Then he went to spend some time in Seattle. But he's always had that off-the-field issue. So, I mean, to me, Tate would make more sense if you can get over the fact that a lot of times when you get an 11 personnel, three wides, one tight, and one back, you're going to have three guys that are not considered to be burners. But I tell you what you do have, you have three really good ball catchers.
And that
counts. I mean, that counts. I mean, 50-50 balls we saw yesterday. Teddy Bridgewater threw one up to Tim Patrick. There was excellent coverage. Patrick just was too big for the corner. And then Sutton was too big for the corners as well. So there is an advantage, says the former big wide receiver, to having big, really good ball catchers out there, dependable guys. Tate is not nearly as tall, but he's a thick dude in the slot, and he can catch it. And I'll tell you, when he catches it, he is hard to get on the ground. He is not a typical wide receiver.
So I want to talk about the Broncos offense, but for this particular game, let's talk a little bit more about the defense. Usually we kind of start off on how did Teddy Bridgewater do, and we'll talk about that in a second. But the defense, another shutout for the defense. And you can, you know, we can talk about who they're playing and it's rookie quarterbacks, but this defense, I guess, continues to be what we thought it was going to be.
Yeah. I mean, they played well. They played exactly how they had to play against a team that is really struggling on offense. Now, you can't blame them because the Jets were on the schedule like the Giants and the Jaguars, but those are three teams that have yet to win a game.
And
so, you expect them to go out and play just the way they did. They just made it difficult on Zach Wilson. There was one area of the game that I, in calling the game yesterday, that I remember as a bit problematic. I mean, there were three routes run by the back, Carter. I think Carter had all three. It's called a little Texas route, a little arrow route. Back out of the backfield, starts to the flat, and then puts his outside foot in the ground, comes back to the middle of the field. All three routes, he is wide open. Wide open. And I think twice Zach Wilson made bad throws, and once he put it on the money in the back, just dropped the ball. So that's an area, as you look at this Broncos defense, and even without Ronald Darby, you've got Fuller and Surtain outside, you've got Callahan in the slot, but the area that I think they're going to have to get shored up in, and it's an area that has sustained an injury in Josie Jewell, you're going to have to get the backers, their coverage on the tight ends and the backs, that's going to have to get fixed. And that's been a problem area for the Broncos for the last handful of years.
I did hear somebody, so switching back to the offense, I did hear somebody talking about how, so Pat Shurmur, well, what do you think about his play calling, by the way, yesterday?
I think they haven't been good on first down. So they ranked, before yesterday's game, they ranked, I believe, 23rd in yards per snap on first down, just a little bit more than five. So what you have seen with them is you've seen them in second, in medium or long, and third in medium or long, which is one of the reasons that their third down percentage is as low as it is. You've got to be able, you have to have some third down and twos and third down and threes, and they've had a lot of third down and eight and mm-hmm. nine and ten. Your chances incrementally decrease the longer the yardage situation, right? I mean, third down and 10 plus, your chances of making a first down, historically speaking, in the NFL are about 14%. You might pick it up, but you're not going to pick it up too many times. So how do you stay out of that? Well, you stay out of that by generating more yards on first down. So I've been critical of Pat Shurmur in the preseason. I said I wanted to see him become more creative. I think I'd give him a passing mark for the first three games. You know, he's put Bridgewater in a situation, and I'm sure a lot of it is Bridgewater, where he's comfortable. He's made throws to open receivers. So I think they have to continue to work in the running game. Those three teams they've beat, they came into the game with the idea of stopping the Denver run. They didn't have a lot of respect for the passing game. So you saw a lot of single safety high stuff, which means you can commit eight to the box in the run game. So the key for me is going to be when teams that are better teams, better defensive teams, have an ability to think they can stop the run and play two safety high, because that will take a lot of these throws that we're seeing Teddy Bridgewater make, that will take some of those throws away. So it's still a work in progress for sure, but I haven't been discouraged with the way the Broncos offense has played.
What about, though, not really utilizing the tight end?
So you must be reading Noah Fant's body language.
Like,
Noah Fant has, shall we say, and this happens.
What
it
do you
happens.
See from his body language?
Oh, he's been pissed off. You know.
Is he holding the middle finger?
No, not quite that pissed, but he's... Uh-huh. He wants the ball for sure, but that's part of being a coach. You got to manage the expectations of some of your really good players.
So what's going on there? I mean, if he's throwing to one thing that I think we've all liked to see about Teddy Bridgewater is that he's throwing to so many different wide receivers.
Yeah. Well, he's throwing to different people. Right. I think eight guys caught a pass yesterday, had nine in the first win against the Giants. So he's spreading the ball around for sure. I mean, you got to take advantage of the backs. I mean, both those backs, I think, are good. Like Melvin Gordon, I mean, caught a ball yesterday right at the line of scrimmage, made a defensive back miss, winds up picking up 21 yards. And Javonte Williams has that kind of ability as well. So, yes, you want to make sure you include the tight ends. I think they've got three guys that are pretty damn good at tight end. You know, you've got to find ways to get them the ball.
Getting back to what we talked about at the start, how concerned are you for injuries? I listened to Vic Fangio today in his press conference. He said, you know, this is happening a little bit too early.
Yeah.
I think he's a big believer in the next man up or going out and getting somebody. But it is concerning because they're starters, and it could be up to seven this week.
You have to have that mentality as a coach, the next man up. But the reality of it is you run out of next men. And there's a reason guys are starters in this league. Everybody that makes an NFL roster is a good football player in some shape or form. But then there's a reason that guys are starters, because they're better players. So, yeah, they've been hit hard with the injury bug. There's no way to sort of manage it, right? It's not like, hey, we can change this and this and this and be more certain that we'll have fewer injuries. That's just not how the league works. I'm just amazed how big and fast and strong and powerful these guys are that we don't see more injuries. But it's honestly, it's luck of the draw. You lose Josie Jewell covering a punt, going down and making a big hit. Mm-hmm. I mean, KJ Hamler, I couldn't really see the knee injury, but it's an ACL. You lose Jerry Jeudy because he gets rolled up in the back of his leg. And we're not even talking about the two guards. Both starting guards left the game yesterday in Graham Glasgow and Dalton Reisner. I have heard, although I don't know that it's been discussed, that neither guy is going to be a long-term issue. I heard that Glasgow may be a little bit longer than Reisner, which is good news. I mean, in the NFL, honestly, as you go through the year, even if you're not missing a lot of games, every single guy is hurt. You're playing with something. It just comes down to whether or not the injury is so severe that you can't play, or so severe that you miss the rest of the season and need surgery. And that's with Jewell and Hamler. That's exactly what's happened.
You know, I know it's a part of the game, but God, what a bummer it would be. Because this is a better team than last year. We can talk about the opponents, but you can't argue this is a better team. I'm not sure we're going to know how much better because of how the injuries are stacking up so early. But that's part of the game.
You sound a bit defeated.
No, it's just, it's starting to creep, especially with KJ Hamler now out for the season. It's just starting to creep in my mind that these are guys, a lot of these guys that are out have their starters. And
for sure,
you know, Jerry Jeudy was supposed to be the breakout player of the year.
No, I'm not minimizing the injuries. I mean, they are significant. Hopefully they can get Jeudy back at some point this year. Same for Chubb, right? I mean, you're missing one of your really good players on defense. And now Chubb out and Josie Jewell out for the season. Ronald Darby is going to come back in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So you just try to find ways to stay afloat until you can get a few of these guys that are eligible to come back. And in the meantime, oh, by the way, your schedule gets really tough the next four games, starting with the Ravens coming up on Sunday.
And that's exactly what we are going to talk about, a match with Baltimore next on the Dave Logan Podcast.
Well, football season is here. We love it. And there's no better place to shop for your game day beer, wine, or liquor than Molly's Spirits. We've been telling you about them for quite some time. If you're hosting a Broncos party, terrific. Just head to one of three locations of Molly's and you can choose from a great selection of craft beers, many from right here from local breweries in Colorado. If those tasty seltzers are your drink of choice these days, Molly's has an unbelievable choice of those as well. Check out Molly's own elevated seltzer variety 12-pack, which includes new flavors like lychee vanilla, limoncello, plum, and guava coconut. Molly's selection is terrific, but their incredibly helpful staff makes all of the difference in the world. There's somebody always around to direct you to your favorite brand, help you find a new favorite drink of choice, and answer any questions that you might have. They're really good. Their staff loves what they do, and it shows their knowledge of all their products. It can be frustrating to go into a store and then have to look for somebody to help you find what you need, right? The experience of Molly's is the exact opposite. So head to one of their three locations, Lakeside at 44th and Harlan, the DTC location right off I-25 in Arapahoe on the west side next to Sprouts, that's where I go, or their new location in Longmont at Ken Pratt and Main Street. And don't forget, Molly's delivers to your doorstep. It doesn't get any easier than that. To order, just go to mollysspirits.com. Molly's, the land of adult beverage discovery.
The Dave Logan Podcast can be found at iHeart, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Remember to download, and if you like what you hear, share with your friends and subscribe. Remember, you can log on to our website, thedavelogandpodcast.com, go to the contact tab to ask us questions. We'll read them on the podcast. Most every question is fair game. Just keep it classy. It's thedavelogandpodcast.com, or you can send your question directly to us on Twitter, at Dave Logan Pod or at Julie Brauman.
You know, just a few weeks until the weather gets brisk and cool, right? And you do know what that means. One of the things it means is it's coffee weather. Man, I love coffee. And what better way to keep you warm than a cup of Boyer's coffee? Now, you know, one of the reasons we love Boyer's coffee is because they're locally owned and Colorado proud. So look at it this way. Supporting locally owned Boyer's coffee isn't only supporting Colorado. It means you're actually drinking coffee that's fresher than the national brands you'll find in the grocery. And we know you can find Boyer's coffee at your favorite grocery store, Walmart, or Sam's Club. But did you know that boyerscoffee.com has varieties that aren't available in the grocery store? It has flavors like coconut cream, Colombian decaf coffee, or pumpkin spice coffee. And the list goes on and on with all the varieties that you can find at boyerscoffee.com. So do yourself a favor, mark these dates on your calendar, September 26th. 6th through the 30th. In celebration of National Coffee Day, all bags will be on sale on the website for just $6.50. Man, you can't beat that. And definitely remember this day, September 29th, the Boyer's Coffee Food Truck at 73rd and Washington will be giving away free cups of drip coffee on National Coffee Day on September 29th, as well as half off any other beverages from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Also, remember it's pumpkin season, so stop by the coffee and food truck and pick up a bag of pumpkin spice coffee, or better yet, order up a cup of Boyer's Signature Pumpkin Spice Latte. Boyer's Coffee, roasting right here in the Rocky Mountains since 1965. And welcome back to the Dave Logan Podcast. Dave Logan and Julie Brauman chopping it up about the Broncos win yesterday over the New York Jets, 26-0.
Mm-hmm.
And now time to prepare. I'm sure Vic Fangio has already started. In fact, he said when I interviewed him after the game, he would enjoy this game driving home And he's going back to the office to start to work on Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens.
And he's not kidding.
I guarantee he's not kidding.
Oh, my gosh. You know, not that the wins didn't count because they did. They're 3-0. But this is legitimately the first real... I wouldn't say...
Oh, stop.
No,
stop.
Dave,
you're
come
turning
on.
Into the typical fan.
No, I'm not. Lamar Jackson is very different than the last two rookie quarterbacks. The Ravens defense is a little bit different than the last three defenses that this team has played. It's a better test.
It's a better team.
It's a better,
sure.
It's a better right of where the Broncos are, because the Broncos really haven't been pushed, right? I don't know really how good they are. They won 26-0, but it wasn't like the Jets pushed them.
Well,
so this is
I mean, how,
better...
how good did you think the Bengals would be before the start of the season?
Well, it's Cincinnati, so never.
Right. And so yesterday they go into Pittsburgh and beat the Steelers 24-10. What I'm saying is, honestly, in the NFL, if you don't take care of your business,
you can
lose to just about anybody.
True.
Right? So, but I will say this, Baltimore does present some unique problems. And I said this after watching Lamar Jackson, the Ravens, beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in improbable fashion. I've never seen a guy in either playing in the NFL or calling games in the NFL for over 40 years, I've never seen a quarterback with his skill set. Never. And yeah, I said that on the air, and we had people texting and saying, what about Michael Vick? Michael Vick was a fabulous athlete, maybe a little bit stronger arm than Lamar Jackson, but he didn't have – he had great speed and power, but he did not have the elusiveness of Lamar Jackson. I mean, Lamar Jackson does things against NFL defenders that you just look and shake your head and say, oh, my God. I mean, it's just that silly how good he is and the skill set that he has. So it is a really unique running game. It will require, I mean, Denver's defense has to be so disciplined. It's a little bit like, I think, in college football when you play an option team and you're used to playing against spread teams. And all of a sudden you play Air Force or Army or Navy, and you have to get your players to understand, listen, you know, you have to do this based on what he does, and you have to be where you're supposed to be all the time. And even if you are, he can still make you miss. But it will be assignment football defensively for the Broncos, unlike anything they have played before or will play after.
Well, then we should be happy that Vic Fangio is the head coach. There's so many times where people complain about him because he's maybe not offensive-minded. He's very defensive-minded. Something that shouldn't go overlooked, Lamar Jackson has led fourth-quarter go-ahead drives in each of the Ravens' first three games. So they beat the Chiefs, as you mentioned. They beat the Lions on Sunday.
Did you see that?
I mean, like, I watched it like three times.
He's the best kicker in football by far, all due respect to Brandon McManus and others.
Yeah.
And even when he lined up, and I went back and watched some of the highlights, you almost had to, if you're the play-by-play guy, you almost have to say, okay, lined up at the, 46-yard line of the other team, right?
Yeah.
I mean, no, 46-yard line on the other side of midfield. That's where the ball was spotted. I mean, it's like, are you serious? So then you got to make sure, because I did this, I call Matt Prater's 64-yard field goal and Jason Elam's 63-yard field goal.
Oh, wow, okay.
So Prater, of course, broke Elam's record. He was tied with Tom Dempsey. But I remember when Prater lined up, and I'm like, okay, 50s. Because you want to make sure. You don't want to say, you don't want to screw that call up.
An NFL record. It'll be spotted at the 46 of the Broncos. This would be a 64-yard field goal from Matt Prater. Snap placement. Prater has plenty of air on it. Does it have enough? It goes over, and it is good!
Oh, my God.
Matt Prater from 64 yards out, a new NFL record. Would not have believed in these conditions he could make that kick.
It's like 66, 1, 2, 3, is that sick? Wait, 64? But 66 yards. It will be, I mean, seriously, we might not get out of this world alive before that record is broken.
Well, and then the way it happened, it hits the crossbar and then it just goes up and then over. Did you watch the Lions crowd? Like, they thought it was no good.
Yeah.
And then it goes over and the whole crowd, their arms just go down.
The Lions ought to be used to it. The Lions crowd ought to be used to it.
Right.
I mean, Tom Dempsey back in, what year was that? 19, I'm going to say 67.
He
Tom Dempsey
alive.
Set the record He was kicking for the New Orleans Saints, and he set the record against the Detroit Lions.
They've had kind of a heartbreaking history.
They live in Detroit.
And then they live in Detroit. Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Weather-wise, not that they're not good people.
However, though, the bright spot here is the Ravens' defense. I believe they've given up almost 1,000 passing yards in their first three games. So this could be a decent game for Teddy Bridgewater and whoever he's going to have out there at wide receiver.
Well, it's going to be a game that I think from a play caller standpoint and even from Vic Fangio's standpoint, yeah, you want your offense to move the ball. Yes, you want your offense to score. You also want your offense to do what they've done in the first 3 weeks of the season. They've dominated time of possession. Mm-hmm. The Broncos came into the game yesterday, the first 2 weeks, averaging 37 minutes of possession time, and they had over 35 minutes yesterday. So what happens, yeah, you got to score points, but you want to keep Lamar Jackson over there drinking Gatorade and wearing the oxygen mask, which means the Broncos offense will have to play a nearly flawless game, I think, to give Denver their best opportunity to win. You can't turn the ball over. You can't let him work on a short field, right? And you have to dominate time of possession. And then, by the way, you got to score. I mean, you're going to have to score 27-plus points, I think, to beat the Ravens with how they are playing an offense.
So Baltimore did lose to the Raiders this season. Have you had a chance to start your
They
homework?
Gave that game away, by the way.
Okay, so tell me what happened. How did the Raiders...
They played in Las Vegas. And the Ravens clearly were the better team. And Lamar Jackson had two fumbles in the fourth quarter. Otherwise, the Raiders are going to lose that game. And the Ravens were the better of the two teams. So the Ravens come in at 2-1. But I think they are one of the, certainly in the AFC, to me, they'd be one of the top three or four teams and probably five or six, maybe seven teams in the league, in the NFL. I just can't impress upon people how dangerous this guy is. It's just incredible to watch him do what he does against NFL caliber players. They're not NFL caliber players. They're NFL players. And he just makes them look silly almost on a weekly basis.
What does your gut tell you about this game?
I think it's a tough game for Denver. I mean, I think it's, Is it a game that they don't have a chance to win? No, I think they have a chance to win, but I think they're going to have to play. I think everybody will talk about the Broncos defense in this game. To me, the offense wears the hat. The defense will go out. They'll play well. I mean, he'll move around. He'll make a few of them miss. He'll make some plays. He'll do all that. The offense has to show up in a big way. They have to play a really clean game. They can't turn the ball over, which they haven't.
Right.
They had the fumble yesterday going in, Javonte Williams, but they haven't thrown picks. They're plus three in the turnover differential. So that has to continue. It can't be one of these games where all of a sudden you look up and the Denver offense has three or four turnovers, because if that happens, they will lose the game.
How's the pass rush for Baltimore? I mean, is Teddy Bridgewater have a chance harried? Because hasn't yet.
Yeah, they always, Baltimore, I think if you just follow them casually, mm-hmm. they always have dudes on defense. I mean, go back to when Ray Lewis was there. You knew it was going to be a physical game ever since John Harbaugh took over as the head coach. And when Ozzie Newsome, my former teammate, was the GM, I mean, he prided himself on really having great defensive teams, which they did. So it's a different defense. And as you said, they've given up some passing yards, but they're talented outside. Two corners that can really cover. So, the Broncos are going to have their work cut out for them. I think they can win. I think Denver can win. But they're going to have to play their best game of the four games they've played so far.
Are you okay with, I don't know if the Broncos offense has been conservative, but it hasn't been flashy, right? But that's going to have to be the kind of game that they're going to play on Sunday, I guess.
I think they've been good. I mean, I think they've hit some big plays in the passing game. To me, you got to be able to run the ball. I mean, the Ravens are going to come in here and say, okay, we're going to take your run away. We'll see how long this Teddy Bridgewater experiment can continue, right? I mean, the same thing the Giants did, same thing the Jacksonville Jaguars did, mm-hmm. and the Jets tried to do it yesterday. Jets made it tough on the Broncos to run the ball. I mean, Denver averaged 3.5 yards per carry. That has to be better. That can't be, you're not going to win many games averaging 3.5 yards per carry. They ran it 37 times. So Baltimore will come in, try to take the running game away, and then feel like they can pressure this Broncos offense. If they take the run away, then I think they feel like they can get to Bridgewater.
Is it just me or does Ray Lewis bugs the crap out of me?
It's just you.
Seriously?
Yeah, I think it's only you. I have consulted with two or three people prior to starting this podcast. All of them agree it was just Julie Brownman.
I don't know. Their home opener, he comes out of the tunnel and he does
But that's his thing.
Yeah, but he also killed people. I mean,
well, okay. I mean really? I mean he was acquitted of that and then he had a settlement of some
so
sort
was
of
OJ.
Civil lawsuit. Well, I mean, I don't know whether he did or didn't. Yeah, OJ was acquitted.
Yeah, I know. I'm just throwing that out
there.
Yeah,
that was a tragic event. How many years ago?
Oh God, so long. We were working together then.
So it bugs you. It bugs you about him, about that. You mean how he acts now?
I just feel like he's a big fake-o. There's just something about that guy that rubs me wrong. I think he's a big fake.
Fake-o.
Okay. A big fake-o. I'll Google, if you want to use that in
the
broadcast,
Google that. Yeah. Yeah, well, that looks a bit fake-o.
I think it's a good time to end. I'll see you next week.
All right.
DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is pulling you in the center of the action with endless ways to make it rain this week. Sports betting has never been this convenient. With DraftKings Sportsbook, you can bet from anywhere the app is available. And if you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new players a deposit bonus of up to $1,000 when signing up using promo code Logan, my last name. DraftKings Sportsbook has endless ways for you to bet, from live betting to betting on your favorite players. They really do it all. Check out the DraftKings Sportsbook app every day this week to cash in on their daily odds boosts. New boosts are posted every single day for all the biggest sporting events. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure. It's really easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money whenever you want to. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code Logan, L-O-G-A-N, when you sign up and get up to $1,000. That's code Logan to get a deposit bonus of up to $1,000 for a limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.